Hi, this is Jim Eisnach, editor of Anesthesiology, to tell you about a few articles in the upcoming August issue. We all look at our practices in various ways, sometimes through quality assurance mechanisms on paper review of charts, sometimes with electronic database, and sometimes through state or other regulatory agencies looking at our practices. In the August issue is the first two in a series of five editorials on the use of large data registries that are now not only covering individual practices, but entire states or the entire country, and how these will be used by regulatory agencies or can be used by our own practices to affect the way we practice medicine. David Mackey from MD Anderson put these this series together. And he leads off with an editorial setting the stage for the current and future use of data registries to affect our practice. The second editorial includes Dr. Berwick, the former head of CMS, on their perspectives of how data registries might be used to both regulate care, potentially reduce costs, and attempt to use a data-driven approach to improve care. I think you'll find these fascinating and thought-provoking editorials that will run over the next 3 months. There are a couple other articles I wanted to highlight. One in my own area of obstetric anesthesia is a study from the University of Alabama looking at a prospective study of maternal temperature in labor. You probably are aware that maternal temperature increases during labor and can, after some time, reach levels for which a fever workup is performed in the mother and in the baby. This has been associated with the use of epidural analgesia, and some authors have suggested that this is a major drawback for the use of epidurals. In this study from the University of Alabama, they've quite cleverly followed women's temperature over time. Most of the women then received an epidural, and the way they asked whether epidurals affected the increase in maternal temperature was to ask whether the relative increase in temperature over time, the slope of the increase of temperature over time, was affected when they got the epidural. What they found was that it was not, suggesting that epidural analgesia is perhaps a marker for prolonged labor, but it's not a causative agent for this increase in maternal temperature. Like articles, typically one or two articles per month, we felt that this was of interest to the lay public, and the ASA has issued a press release on this article. Finally, for those of us in academics, the selection of residents and the future of our specialty is an important topic, and there's an article from Northwestern University looking at the applicants to their residency program and the factors that were associated with a successful match. Since many medical students now apply to more than one, in fact, many residencies, not surprisingly, the applicant pool to Northwestern covered nearly half of all the medical students who were applying for residency in that year. They found a small effect of gender. Women were slightly more likely to be accepted into residency, and a modestly strong effect of age. The older medical student applicant was a little bit less likely to be accepted. They noticed that whether the medical student had had research or academic activity as measured by an article that they had published was not a factor in acceptance to their program, and they commented that this was not a good sign for the academic development of our specialty. Lee Fleischer and others have written an editorial to accompany this article suggesting that perhaps things are not quite as dire as that, that we need to develop researchers to provide for the future of our specialty, but the medical students who are interested in this may be applying very selectively to a different group of residency programs. This and a lot more of clinically applicable material is in the Anesthesiology print journal at our website and at the very exciting iPad app. If you haven't downloaded it, I recommend that you do.